Hey guys, this is your host Nick Hoffman, still on parental leave and still talking to you through the blue Yeti on my desk. We have re-entered Don Bluthful with a Cannonball Run reunion, I guess, as Dom DeLuise, and Burt Reynolds play dogs, and heaven is involved, and the dog mafia is involved in what is less of a kid's movie than I remember. Very, very bleak, bleak movie. So, thanks, guys. Oh, by the way, thank you for being you, listening, sharing, joining the Patreon, all those things. Thanks, guys. Welcome to Myopia Movies. We're watching All Dogs Go to Heaven, a movie where they kidnap a child and force them to talk to animals. I'm Nick Hoffman, riffer on Cineprov, and also here today with you beautiful people. And on panel we have...
Kelly.
Hello, this is Daniel, frequent contributor to popdos.com, and I'm really digging Nick's NPR voice right now.
Yeah, I don't know why this chilled me out. This is a weird movie.
I'm Lauren, and you can't keep a good dog down.
God help me.
Oh, boy.
Hey, this did not need to be a musical.
Because no, it
Burt
did
Reynolds
not.
Cannot sing. I love
he,
the man.
He was in two musicals before this, and one of them is considered among the worst movies of all time.
Although he is in the
one?
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Whorehouse in Texas, one of them. The other one is At Long Last Love. It's him and Cybill Shepherd and Madeline Kahn. Have you ever seen that?
Never.
I have not. I've
never
even heard of that.
It's a jukebox musical of a bunch of Cole Porter songs.
Gross. Does he sing in Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
I'm pretty sure
I
he
know
does.
Holly does.
Yes.
Okay.
Little
it's
bit.
Been a while since I've seen that.
Yeah. Well, that's why Best Little Whorehouse in Texas is safe, because Dolly's in that.
Yeah, she distracted me from most of the rest of the movie in that movie. So, for some
it's just
reason.
A little pretty pissant country place, or however that song goes.
Yeah, so...
Dolly Parton, Angel on Earth. Anyway.
Yes.
Great woman.
100%.
Great singer. Anyway, so we are talking All Dogs Go to Heaven. Dom DeLuise in it. Wheezy.
So trying to be funny. He's so trying to be
they
funny.
They were all trying to be funny. And it's just a scary movie.
It's
like,
a
honestly, I watched it with Adelaide and I was like, don't look at this. Don't, why did my parents let me watch this?
This was way more traumatizing than I remember.
Yes,
okay.
I remember loving it. I don't think my parents
yes.
ever sat down to watch it with us, though, because I feel like if they
yes.
had, we never would have been able to rent it again.
This is 1989. This is the same year of The Little Mermaid. Like, that's what it's up against. You're just, I don't know who this was for, but also, if you're going to get Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise, it's not a comedy. Why would you reach out to them if you're not going to make them at least funny? It's weird. Everything about this movie feels like a misstep. I looked at the reviews. The reviews are mediocre at best.
It was depressing to watch this movie this week because, as we're recording this, Norm Macdonald passed
yes.
away.
But, I mean, it's just... It feels like it could be...
I'm sorry, is Norm in this? Did I miss that?
No.
No, it's just
no.
He
just
impersonated... He impersonated...
Oh, because he impersonated Burt
Reynolds.
I got you. Okay, I'm with you now. I'm like, was Norm a voice in this and I missed it? Gotcha.
He played
Burt.
Carface or whatever
yeah.
the fucking
I was
name
like,
was.
Carface.
Yeah.
The second I saw that sign, I was like, ah, okay. That happened.
Yeah, who is Andre the Giant?
That's right. I've been watching those all week and it's weird. Anyway, so anyone give us the plot? Who wants to give us the plot? Lauren, you got the
go
notes?
Dan.
Oh, Daniel? Okay,
go
Daniel. Sunzi, give us the notes.
Well, it's about dogs who go to heaven. No, so...
That's what Google told me. All dogs do go to heaven.
So Burt Reynolds is in this as this dog named Charlie who is...
Charlie B. Barkin, which I love.
Oh, God, help me. I just got older.
So this takes place in 1939 in Nolens.
Yep.
And,
Bayou.
Yeah, and Charlie is a gangster, and he's working for this other dog named Carface, who's this, like, pit bull Jabba the Hutt figure. Anyway,
they're partners.
He wants to go solo, so Carface kills him, and Charlie ends up in heaven, because all dogs go to heaven. Except he doesn't want to be in heaven. We'll get into the reasons why later. So he steals, like, this magical watch that represents his life, turns it back and ends up back on Earth to get revenge on Carface. In the process of doing that, he meets Carface's quote-unquote monster, which is this little girl who can talk to animals.
That's right.
Who actually turns out to be Chief Wiggum, by the way. Yeah. Chief Wiggum is the original Dr. Doolittle. But so they kidnap that little girl and promise to find her a new home because she's an orphan. And then from there, it's a redemption arc for Charlie, I guess. They meet several people.
Sort of. This movie doesn't characterize anyone. It's very bizarre. We can get into this just a skosh. Dom DeLuise plays Itchy.
Dom DeLuise was in like practically every Don Bluth film, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he also ends up being the dog lover in Oliver and Company, the Disney movie with cats and dogs.
Yes.
The version of David Copperfield. You have
Burt Reynolds. An Oliver Twist.
Yes. Charles Nelson Reilly plays the nervous dog killer because we have to have another Faye over the top character. And Anne-Marie is voiced by Judith Barcy, who tragically dies the year before this. She came out after she died.
She was murdered by her father.
Right. She is Ducky in The Land Before Time.
She was also the same girl in Poltergeist, right?
Yes. Yeah. And in Remington Steele. And in Jaws the Revenge, she plays Thea. So they worked her hard, and she passed away the year before this in a tragic accident. Well, tragic
event. Tragic accident?
A tragic event.
She was murdered.
Thank you, Daniel. In the meantime, this is a very terrifying, bizarre movie. Lonnie Anderson comes in as a sexy collie at one point who has a whole bunch of puppies.
Oh, yeah. That hell dream is metal as fuck.
It is.
They actually cut it. I researched this. They actually cut the hell scene. It was supposed to be worse.
I've seen the original hell scene.
You've seen the original hell scene? Yeah. Oh, it's supposed to be way worse.
Not really worse, but more
into it. More than a children's movie probably should be.
More traumatizing
than
it already was.
This is G-rated. How
is
that?
Is it G? Yes. Oh my God.
With the drinking and the smoking and the...
With the drinking and the smoking and the
gambling.
Glavin.
Exactly.
The gambling on rats.
Rat races. That was a great part of this movie.
I will also say the last person I should mention, because I love him, Ken Page, who plays King Gator, is also Oogie Boogie from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
He's got this wonderful baritone voice.
He's done a ton of stuff.
He has. Although I will say... That took points away from me from Princess and the Frog, because it's the exact same character.
Yeah, I had that thought too. I was like, oh.
Which is a shame, because I love Don Bluth. This is a mess for a Don Bluth movie. Though he's someone who likes to make a movie look pretty, not make sense, clearly.
Like, the writing in it was just not really going anywhere. It was like, okay, so we're dogs, and we like to party, right?
We're gangsters.
And yeah, we're gangsters. And we're going to kidnap a kid and we're going to make her gamble for us. And then what happens?
And they're going to pull the Vincent Adult Man trick in order to bet on the horse races.
So I just kind of was like, all right, so where's this going? Because I really didn't remember a lot of it as a kid. I didn't remember the alligator. I didn't remember the hell scene at all. And honestly, I think my little child brain skipped over the fact that they're all like, in a bar. Like, they're fighting over partnership for a bar. That's what this is about. And, like, my brain just didn't register that as a kid. So I'm watching it now, and I'm like... And I'm watching it with my daughter, thinking, oh, it's going to be fine. And I'm like, what have I done? Oh, my gosh. I was like, Adelaide, here's the tablet. Watch something else.
No, I cannot believe this is G. Like, for real. And this... The marketing in 1989 must have just been really, really well... Really well done, because I remember loving this movie as a kid.
But I don't remember anything. I didn't remember anything about it by the time I sat down and watched it. Like, it's not actually about dogs going to heaven. It's about dogs being absolute dick faces on earth to each other.
Well, it's funny because I remember at the very beginning he dies. And then at the end he kind of goes back to heaven. But that's all I remembered, because essentially the white fairy from... Pinocchio comes and says, you have to go back to your home. Go home.
Yeah. The blue fairy, right?
Right, I do. It's more of the white fairy, whatever. But, I skipped it. I watched the first part with my wife and then watched the rest with my daughter, thinking that first part was the scary part, where the dog literally gets hit by a car. Then the hell scene comes up and I'm just like, it's Chernabog from Fantasia. Because that's what it is. It's this dripping green nonsense that comes out of the ground.
The only scene I remembered as a kid is the scene where Charlie initially gets into heaven.
Yeah.
Which is a good scene.
I remembered the, you can never come back, Charlie. Like, I remembered that line.
Yeah.
But apparently I remembered literally nothing else to this movie. Because the orphanage puppies show up and I was like, oh, puppies! going to be great. And then it got really sad. And I was like, no, this is not great.
I eat gross pizza. Yeah. It's all drippy. I don't know. It's the Ninja Turtles drippy pizza. I don't get it. It's gross.
It's melty cheese. You have to show that it's melty.
No, this movie is so sad. They literally, it is so sad and traumatizing. They literally show a dog getting hit by a car.
That's
and intoxicated. And a poor orphan, all she wants is, she's like, will you help me find mommy and daddy? And I'm just like, oh my God.
And then when he guilts her out of leaving their kitchen, I sat there and I was like, this is the definition of grooming. Like, you are a shitty
person.
It's so funny in my brain when I did it too. But I was like, okay, so I guess in two ways. But I was like, this is terrible. This little girl feels so guilty because she thinks this dog is her best friend.
And he's dying of consumption.
Yeah, and he's guilting her into leaving. Like, what? Oh, my. Jeez.
Well, that was part of the whole thing about Charlie's arc. By the way, what's Lauren's talking about is how Charlie dies. He gets drunk after he goes solo, and then Carface shoves a Model T Ford at him from the top of a hill, and it hits him. And
there's a scene out of Godfather in this. Like, he leaves the family, and he has to die. And he gets killed by a car, which Carface just puts into neutral at the top of this hill, and he just gets clobbered. The famous hills of New Orleans, by the way.
Yeah.
Famously flat. Take him out back. Yeah. So he goes to heaven and is met by this, like, whippet, right?
A purple whippet.
If I may cut in here, the specific line is, this is the Great Hall of Judgment. Don't worry, Charlie. You'll go to heaven. All dogs go to heaven because, unlike people, dogs are naturally good and loyal and kind.
you're watching it, and you're like, really? Okay, none of the dogs I've met so far are that.
Well,
in the movie, my dog's great.
Right. Even Carface goes to heaven. By the way, the name Carface is terrible. That was the first draft.
Trying to be Scarface, is that right?
Yes. I know he is, but still, call him Scarface then.
Right.
But I probably can't, right? Copyright or something.
Probably.
I mean, it's possible, but he doesn't have a scar on his face either. He doesn't have a car in his face either, I guess. Technically. If you want to be technical about cars and faces.
Which, by the way, I'm
living in a car.
We're
right?
skipping ahead. Under
the club. No, we're not. It's the first 45 seconds of this movie.
No, I mean, we're skipping ahead about Carface going to heaven. That implies the alligator ate him.
Oh, totally did.
Absolutely. I thought an alligator did.
Yeah.
Definitely. We don't see that on camera, but I mean,
a G-rated movie.
Again, G-rated, but yeah, I think that's exactly what that's indicating. Yeah,
as in gee whiz, do you think the alligator ate the dog? Anyway, so Carface has this Model T Ford turn kill Burt Reynolds, which is how he died, right? In real life, he got hit by a Model T.
Oh yeah, I think so.
Anyway, smash cut to a purple whippet in heaven, as you do.
We're joking, Lauren, by the way. He did indeed pass away, but
I think cancer.
I think so.
But anyway, the purple whippet in heaven and him have a romantic song. And then when that happens, you realize, holy shit, this is going to be a musical. At least I said, I was like, because again, like, an American Tale, Fievel has the one song somewhere out there, but it's the one song.
Well, there's also there are no cats in America.
God, you're right. All Don Bluth has too many songs. The songs in this one in particular, though, are terrible, right?
You know, how you can tell this movie was made in the 80s?
Heroin? Sorry.
Well, cocaine would have been the appropriate response for there, but the end theme is sung by Irene Cara.
It's true. The song over the end credits is atrocious.
Didn't get that far. I was like, it's over. Bye.
Again, Irene Cara.
It's one of those things you go to the bathroom, you leave it running in the background, you just hear the sound wafting through the door, you're just like, oh, this is just bad. So, they get to heaven. And after a frolicking moment through a bunch of clocks, you know, like heaven's filled with clocks.
I feel
so geeky about this, but there's a line in the song where basically Charlie doesn't want to be in heaven because it's too orderly and he wants chaos. And one of the things he said is, I need Brazil. And I was just like, does that mean you want to go insane under torture?
Well, I will also say, it seems like a bad Doctor Who sketch because there's just clocks for no reason.
Yeah.
And they're flying through time. It's bizarre. And then he finds the one clock, which equals his life expectancy.
Yes.
If you are almighty, right? Okay? And you're running heaven, and you know that you're not supposed to turn the clocks back, and you know that there's going to be a whole lot of people or dogs or whatever that are up there that don't want to be there. Why would you not fucking lock those things away?
This is Kelly against daylight savings time. You don't fuck with clocks.
You don't tell people about it.
No.
You just keep going and you say, hey, it's over. / guess what? It's dark outside. It's bedtime. What time is it? Bedtime. Doesn't matter that it's 7:30 instead of 8:30. It's dark outside and you're going to bed and I'm getting an extra hour to myself this season. Like,
yes.
Lock it up.
You do realize, though, it's Burt Reynolds.
I'm screwed when she learns how to read clocks.
But it's supposed to be like, Burt Reynolds who just looks at you and goes, girl, what's the clock all about? Mm. And he brings the smolder.
That would be hard to argue
he
with.
Does, yeah. He does bring the Charlie Smolder. He's like, so, what's this clock for, babe? And she's like, ah.
Yeah. I forgot that Burt Reynolds voices. That made my heart happy. And even on some of the songs, he goes, and even I have been disappointed by a skirt. And I was like, did he really just say that?
He did.
Yes.
I also...
Oh, there's a scene in one of the songs where he's singing and they clearly muted damn.
Yes. Yes. But even his kind of laugh is in it so often. I'm just like, oh, Bert had fun. At least someone had fun making this fucking movie.
I mean, I'm sure it was fun to make. It just was really terrifying to watch.
All dogs go to heaven. It was a fun time.
Yeah. I was a dog.
I was a dog.
I was a German Shepherd. Yeah. I got healed by a car. It was ironic. Just chewing.
Funny movie.
Sir, can you spit out your gum? You're recording audio for a... No. It's my character. anyway, so he steals this fucking clock. It's a little pocket watch that he wears around his neck as a collar sometimes. He just winds it to give himself more time.
It's stopped, and if it starts ticking again, he dies when it gets to midnight, I think.
It's a soft something. It's just a MacGuffin that he has to keep up with throughout this entire movie.
Well, the whole thing, though, is he can't go back to heaven after he leaves, and he's not supposed to leave. So that whole clock thing means he's...
Little boy, you're going to hell! Oh, God, help me.
Okay, right, that's the point, is that that's why he has to keep whining it to not go to hell.
Right, yeah, and stay alive. Yeah.
Kelly, you don't remember...
Like, what happens when you get... What if he got old and he wanted to die?
Well, then he has to let the clock stop.
Does he age? Now that he has the, does he actually age now that he has the clock?
He ages 7 years for every.
This is an important guess. What makes it even more important, right? Like, does it stop him from aging? Like, is he now immortal? If he can just wind it back? What if he does get, and I don't, maybe they did this and I blocked it out of my brain, but like, what if he gets killed again?
He kind of does. The ray gun does shoot him, and he lives through it.
Yeah, no, he does. That's kind of what I was thinking. So, he's fully immortal now, but is he aging?
We need more of an explanation of the clocks.
Yes, it would have been better than most of the rest of what happened.
I will also say, we don't even know how long this movie takes place. You could tell me it takes place over 3 days, or it takes place over a month. We have no point of reference, and so he could have been living for a long time.
Yeah.
He also may not have, because...
Well, he had time to steal a wallet. Buy some dresses.
Build a casino.
Gamble. Yeah, build a casino.
Which succeeds and then gets burned down in an arson attack out of Goodfellas.
And it had neon lights, and those bitches take forever to make.
Yes.
Poor Itchy is arc welding for about a montage and a half in this movie.
I feel so bad for Itchy. He
has a scene where it's like he's been beaten up by thugs. He's like, they tried to kill me. I built you a casino and I told you to leave and they tried to get. And you're just like, what movie? Is this Carlito's Way?
Bruises on his joints.
And scratch marks on his elbows and stuff. And only on one side, by the way. And I was like, this is terrifying. And you're yelling at me like, I was your only friend and you left me there.
To die.
You didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
And you're putting this kid above everything else. And they're screaming at each other about who's actually a friend. And I'm like, he's not a friend. You knew that. Like, there's no way you didn't read the signs, bud. Like.
And then he says, Anne Marie was just a tool I was using or something.
And she's on the stairs.
And she overhears.
And she's dying of tuberculosis or something.
Clearly. Yes. Something.
We don't
she's
ever...
She's got pneumonia polio or some shit. Like
something.
God.
Dude, because it's 1939. She could be dying of something called dropsy or the screams. Like, we don't know.
I vote the screams. Obviously.
And she's holding this doll and she's getting pale and then just loses consciousness. Like, this kid who's been orphaned forever. By the way, we haven't mentioned this, but she's like the littlest Dr. Doolittle, she speaks to animals and she's telling Carface how to bet on the horses.
Or the rats.
The rats.
The rats
first.
Yeah.
Literally the rat race. But it's
because
just,
obviously they know who's going to win because they're going to let each other win. And that, it's like, is that really how that works?
We find that out later, though, during the horse race that they do indeed let horses win.
We and all you have to do is start a rumor. Did you know it's his birthday? Oh, he's going to win today. Like, what? Okay. Because that's how competition works.
We also get to, like, what I guess is a frog jumping competition at one
point.
Which
was so fun.
It's why? I mean, it turns Mark Twain for a second. But, like, all of this is just so... There's a montage in here that doesn't matter at all to anything. All this movie feels like is it's stitched together from 30 different ideas. It's weird.
And there's just money. Just money coming in. She just wants a family and a dress.
And she dresses like Vincent Adultman. And she's like, I'd like to put a bet on this horse. I have a mustache.
Yeah. I'm a grown up. Like, okay.
And the guy buys it.
Like, sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Like,
I'll take your
money.
And
instead of helping, like, Charlie promises that he's going to help her find a mom and dad. And instead of doing that, he's like, well, just bet on these horses for me instead. It's like,
yes. Well, and now that you found someone that's going to take care of you, let me guilt you away from them.
He also says he's like Robin Hood and is going to use the winnings to, like, give the money to the poor or something.
Yeah, which she totally calls him out on eventually. Like,
she does. She
also,
does.
Didn't he buy her a dress? There was a scene where she was buying stealing dresses. Why is she still in raggedy clothes? Wear the new dress. Did he not actually buy it for you? Because that is shitty. Don't take me shopping if you're not going to buy me a dress.
The answer, Kelly, is because it's easier to animate the same thing throughout the entire movie than to change up clothes.
I mean, that's fair.
That's totally fair.
I'm also going to guess there were studio notes that, like, you can't make Charlie a jackass for the entire movie. Can we have 10 minutes where he actually does what he's saying he's going to do? So they added that scene later. Because if you notice, no one says anything. I don't even think they had the voice actors back. They just added a scene. Because at the end, they're like walking down the street with a bunch of boxes, and you're just like, hey.
Here's how Charlie works as a character. He's supposedly reading a bedtime story to Anne Marie, and he says it's Robin, but he's reading War and Peace, upside down.
Which is weird. Oh, this is so painful. Did you remember liking this movie when you were a kid?
I loved this movie as a kid. Nick, we've done this for a long time. You have this podcast, and it's so fun. This movie, more than any movie we've done together before, I remember completely differently as a kid versus now. Like, it could not have been more different.
Well, and you...
I did not remember how, like, traumatizing, terrifying, and sad this actually is. Well, I remember it being, like, heartfelt and about dogs and about all good versus evil, and the dog ends up going to heaven at the end, like... I remember, like, actually fond memories of this, and it's completely different seeing it now.
Well, and it's funny because we've done this for years, and, like, at first it used to really be, like, childhood spoilers, but, like, we don't do that anymore, and, like, we'll make fun of a movie, but usually we're like, yeah, this is still cute. This movie is so different than I remembered, because even the good and evil stuff doesn't feel Disney good and evil. Like, this really feels like... Not only Maleficent shows up, but also, like, Satan. Like, literally at one point, Carface laughs, and they turn his face into Satan.
Yes! Oh, my God! It was like, when I looked at it, I was like, well, that was creepy. Natalie looked at me and went, why? And do I need to explain this? Because you're literally terrified of everything, but that didn't freak you out?
This would not be G now.
No.
I'm telling you. This would definitely be PG now. They would have had to change some things if they were going to promote this as a kids movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and again, it's the thing that makes it worse to me is how no characters seem to matter. They introduce so many people in this movie. They aren't characterized. The only one who gets sort of characterization is Charlie. But even if she's not characterized, Anne-Marie is just kind of drug around for these set pieces that are terrifying. Like, let's not forget, the rats, they fall through the floor at one point. Rats kidnap them to feed them to an alligator in this hellscape, in a scene that looks like a setting from a Doom level. Like, I don't know how to describe
it. An alligator that just wants to sing. He just wants to sing.
Plus the 2001 ripoff when Charlie's going to heaven for the first time and has to pass through that light tunnel.
That's just in the Infinity. anyway, we have gotten way
off
the track.
And there's not really much redemption either. No. I mean, I guess there kind of is for Charlie at the end. Kind of.
He saves the girl's life.
He saves the girl's
and then goes
Mary.
Back for the treasure anyway.
But then, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It goes after it anyway. So it's like, I feel like even that Charlie's not even redeemed.
Not really.
Really, not really.
No.
Kind
really.
Of.
They
and
needed
that's
a
the thing. Like, we're like
editor,
talking
man.
About it being good and evil, but it's just evil. It's like, don't do this. But if you do, as long as you do something good 10 minutes before you die, you're going to go to heaven anyway.
Well, and the right. other side of it, too, is I thought he went back to get revenge on Carface, but that's forgotten immediately. And he just is
yes.
like, what if I make money? Like, like for 90% of the movie, he doesn't remember Carface, and then Carface
I remember,
shows up.
For some reason, in my memory, I thought he went back to save Anne Marie.
Right.
That was what I remembered, is that... That Anne Marie was before all that happened, and he was going back to help her. And I was like, oh, no, he's just going back
to also use her.
Right.
By the way, when she shows up in this movie, I nearly hyperventilated. I was like, there's a child? What is happening? Because like, because when I saw
a stolen orphan who is then re-kidnapped by
right.
different people to gamble.
Because when
what?
I saw the character, I recognized her, but maybe I thought she was from a different movie. I don't know what Don Bluth was thinking, but at times it feels almost like 101 Dalmatians because the dogs
thinking?
Are talking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But like, remember at the end when the puppies are kidnapped in 101 Dalmatians, they have that bark where all the dogs show up, and that's the final act, right? When they're all looking for Anne Marie. But here, it's just like, this kid has been kidnapped and the dogs are cruel to her. I'm just like... what the fuck is going... Because it's a Mad Max scene or something. Like, she's in this metal container like she's the kid
yes,
from Aliens.
Yes, cage and...
Right?
And, yeah.
It's horrifying. And the whole thing is that she's this Dr. Doolittle type who can talk to animals, and she's helping rig Carface's money empire.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Maybe...
This movie's 80 minutes long.
Yeah. Yeah. The more you give, the more you're gonna get, like... I think you said like, the music is just not great.
No, it's
terrible. It's not.
No, it's not.
If this was like an Italian film or something, the movie looks beautiful. Like,
yes.
You buy it. There are times when they cheap out in between where the animation gets really sloppy, but most of it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
But
the
it's
best,
a huge mouth.
The best song in this movie is Ken Page's song as King Gator. The let's make music together.
It's catchy.
But it doesn't even serve the plot. It's
no,
pointless.
But why is it there? Because he gets to come back at the end, right? Like, that's it.
But
that's all they set it up for.
It's like introducing Chekhov's gun in the second and a half act. Like, because he shows up 10 minutes later to save the day. It's
yeah.
like they didn't have an out. It's weird. If that was the first scene where he's tortured, maybe. But here, it really doesn't matter. And by the way, again, maybe it's Don Bluth just poking Disney. For this one, you shouldn't poke Disney, buddy. You're losing.
Well, Don Bluth had already beaten Disney at the box office.
Twice before.
Yeah.
Well,
at least once before.
I thought it was Land Before Time and American Tale.
American Tale, definitely.
Yeah. But, like, this scene, the mice that are taking them to die look like the mice from Cinderella. Do you notice there's little fat guys
yeah.
with outfits on carrying these cages? Oh, yeah, to feed a fucking gator. By the way, they end up in the gator's mouth, but he has such a beautiful singing voice. The gator
well,
can't
he
go.
Hits that, what pitch was it? I don't know, it was a note.
He hits a note, and he
yeah.
goes, what is that, a tenor or a baritone?
There you go. He can't
what
even describe what about? Voice he has.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. But I don't understand what this movie is trying to
do.
What
say,
the moral is.
What yeah, what the moral is. At least Little Mermaid, I feel like it's follow your dreams. Be yourself, even when there's challenges, like
parents
family,
are
you know.
Wrong.
Yeah,
American Tale. I feel like it's be kind, be yourself. Again, you know, somewhere out there. This I feel like Kelly was kind of alluding to.
No,
oh,
gambling
well,
is fine.
Just, as
screw
long
over
as you're
your
good,
friends,
as long apologize. As you're good, 10 minutes before you die, like you'll
knock
yeah,
up
you'll screw everyone over. But if you apologize,
screw,
it's
but
fine.
If you apologize and if you're good 10 minutes before you die, you're fine.
Knock up a collie, leave, abandon your kids, and then bring
guys,
pizza
kids,
occasionally.
It's an orphanage.
I think some of those look a little bit like him.
That's fair, but it's still an orphanage. That's what I took away from it, which is like not any better. But
if there was more redemption or better qualities of Charlie and Inchy and
if you
more of a heart of gold, I would get it a little more.
Well, I will also say the pacing of this makes no sense because if the scene where she feels like he's a liar happened in the second act instead of 10 minutes before the end, then he can redeem himself.
Yes.
But yeah. The last half hour of this feels like it's stumbling over itself to end. Yeah. Right? Like, because that scene where she's like, you said you would help people and you didn't, happens at like an hour and 5 minutes, and the movie's only an hour and 25 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like, their fight happens as the movie is ending. Like, the timing doesn't work.
What I love the first time she calls him out on that, his solution is to take pizza to puppies.
Right.
Yes.
Pizza. Right. Not buy them a new, like, place. Pizza.
Yeah.
He took puppies one pizza. One pizza that they had to share. So I mean, like, they each got their own pizza. He brought one pizza. I think there were three, but, like, each person got one slice.
And also, just because I noticed this, and it's 1989, so it's Little Mermaid... It's a Caribbean song about sharing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's like even the bongo. Like, you should share.
The songs in this movie are so goddamn weird.
They're terrible. Like, there's no musical swell before he starts singing either. It's just like, I guess he's singing now. Burt Reynolds insisted.
Yeah, I did feel like all of a sudden, okay, we're singing now.
Yep.
Yeah. Why not?
We're singing. We're teaching these, you know, puppies to share. And then she finds the wallet, and all the puppies give him this look. And that's I'm right. Like, those kids are judging you.
And we can talk about the scene for an hour. Before we do, we make fun of Disney a lot here because that's what we do. We make fun of things on this podcast.
What?
But the Disney joke is, this reminds me of a song. And the song's already started, and then you go, oh! Yeah. This, he's just like, you should share. And then the dogs are like, you know what? We should share. And then he gives them a cake and they don't share. And he goes, oh, bother. And then it cuts to credits like it's a fucking 80s sitcom. And then he has a nightmare about Satan and a boat of the damned. And you're just like, what the fuck is any of this?
Among the moments cut, by the way, and there was something else I was going to bring up after this. But
burlesque show?
Oh, yeah. Burlesque show. I mean, you see some dog titties in the uncut version. Oh, but God, anyway.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
I was like, no. I need to see this.
It was completely opposite for me. I was like, no, my eyes. Like,
so there's a close up on the ferryman who's driving the boat that Charlie ends up in, and you hear like you see his eyes and hear like a bird screech, and then that giant Satan dragon shows up. There's like 10 more seconds with him. Like, he actually says something else to Charlie, which I couldn't make out. I mean, this thing's never been officially released, but apparently some animation director had the scene and showed it in an animation class, and so bootlegs are available from that. But frankly, it's not any worse than what's in the actual final cut, because that was just traumatizing.
Yeah, it was freaky. And like, too, how often is he having this dream?
Yeah, right. That was weird.
Because like, we don't really know the timeline. Well, so is this an every night nightmare?
There should be something like a building dream, right? I will also say, what we think about Don Bluth are often heartfelt, because like American Tail isn't an easy movie either, but it's building to something. That scene feels like, to me, something out of like Ralph Bakshi or like Heavy Metal. Like, it really is a complete shift of tone, but also it's different animation. It feels like he brought in someone to make a dark scene, which this movie doesn't need.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all you would need to do to get the same effect is have the clock tick to zero and he fades away. Right? Like, because that should be his thing. Like, because ultimately he's supposed to be redeeming himself, but he doesn't matter. That's just as terrifying.
Have we mentioned the Wallet family yet, as I like to call them?
Ish. I mentioned them, but we haven't talked about them.
Yeah, so they're introduced at the first time he uses her to make money.
At the horse race.
They go to a horse race. And they need money to put down as a bet. So they fake this lame dog thing so that Charlie can pick the pocket of this random couple. Fine. The Wallet couple is your... I mean, they look like the Darlings from a Disney
movie. Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I thought that too. They look just like them. And Anne-Marie is like, actually thinks that she's hurt. And I'm like, you guys are screwing over the sweetest little person.
And, like, she has this whole montage fantasy sequence of them having, like, Christmases together. And it's so sad.
It is so sad.
And all the puppies come along. By the way, puppies not including Charlie or Itchy. Everyone else is there, and they're together. And they're just like, oh, look at how cute they are. They're hiding under the covers. And it's just, oh, it's so heart-wrenching.
It's so cute.
Anyway. Yeah, again, so what's the moral of this story? Is it like, you
bad
know,
people
be,
should just
be
die.
Good, be good, or you're going to go to this, like, hell scary place?
Or is it just, are we just supposed to take away that every dog we see is eventually going to go to heaven?
Be good, or you'll end up on a Meatloaf album cover? That was my takeaway.
Yeah, dude, this is so dark.
Yeah. Well, and at the end, when the demon comes back, he's in the middle of the city. And I'm like, is no one else seeing this? Like, you're in New Orleans. You've got a bunch of psychics down there. Is no one else seeing this?
It turns into Ghostbusters for a second. Like, it's very weird. Like, there's this fog. We're not even close to... Well, I mean, we are close to this. We've been talking half the length of the movie. This movie is also very short. And I'm not saying...
It's like animated. About 90 minutes, isn't it?
No. With credit, it's an hour 24.
Oh.
So okay. We're talking like it's an hour 18 of actual footage. And I'm not saying it needs to be longer. It just... if you gave it 8 extra minutes, some of these things would go away. Because you add more to the third act, so it feels like he's actually redeeming himself, other than even at the end where it feels kind of like, oh, she's dying of tuberculosis, I shouldn't let her drown?
Well, again, Don Bluth got screwed over by the studio, and so it was like 8 minutes longer. There was a bunch of stuff cut out.
Yes, but the stuff that you've been describing he's adding, it's not adding to the plot. It's just like, what if Satan was creepier? Like, more creepy. Right? Like, I don't know what movie he's trying to do. Maybe he saw Ghostbusters 2 and was like, bad vibes over the city is a good idea. But anyway, ultimately, as he comes back, the whole thing is about him making a new casino called Charlie's Place with neon lights.
Yeah.
And so we know, Carface knows that the way he's making this money is off this girl. Right?
Well, because she can... talk to the animals, walk with the animals.
Yep.
No, he builds a casino. Again, we don't know the time frame here, but that eventually gets burned down by Carface's men.
After beating up Itchy.
Yes.
Right.
And when that happens, this is as the acceleration into the third act takes place. Because...
did you see what was going on? Like, what else they were betting on? Get money.
Hopping frogs. We
got turtle races. We've got boxing kangaroos.
I remember the boxing kangaroos. I missed that.
But I mean, like, the whole like, this montage is more and more they're making money, more and more they eventually do buy her dresses. But the whole thing is, rather than redeeming himself or getting revenge, Charlie is just trying to get rich. And Itchy, who disappears for about 20 minutes... comes back and is the bartender of this weird burlesque hall.
Meanwhile, Scratchy is the valet.
Boo.
No, one cool fact I heard though is Burt Reynolds and Don were friends.
I believe it.
A real life. Yeah, they were good buddies. And so they asked the director to not be in the studio with them while they did a lot of the lines and improvise and stuff. And apparently it was better.
I'm sure
yes.
It was.
Yes. Yeah. I've heard the same thing.
Yeah. Apparently it was better. So I can only imagine what the original script was.
God help us.
If what they improvised was better. I will say I did feel that kind of chemistry between...
Yeah.
Charlie and Itchy. I did believe that they were buds.
Well, yeah. And check out, if you're on Patreon, previous episode, Cannonball Run, where they're together, and that's what they are. I mean, Bert plays a hard ass, and Dom is a soft friend, but like, you can tell they like each other, and that does come through here. Cause
that dynamic works.
That's the one part that I think really works, when Itchy's like, look, I asked you to leave, you didn't leave, I asked you to leave again, you didn't leave. You gotta listen to me because they're gonna kill you. That's the only part that has emotional stakes. The Anne Marie, like, she's the sweetheart in this, but whether or not Charlie cares about her really only shows up in the very last scene. Yeah, like, right. It feels very thin elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Elsewhere?
Elsewhere.
We invent new words on this podcast.
I am a goddamn linguist.
Well, I mean, the whole reason the casino gets burned down is because Carface tortures a subordinate to find out information on it with piranhas.
Again, children's movie. Dude, again,
with piranhas. He has a tank of piranhas.
Yeah,
but that's not the monster. The kid was the monster. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What?
We have a Bond set here. Although I will say, like, they're all hiding out in this, like, abandoned church or whatever the fuck. It looks like the Addams Family house, to be honest. And, you know, you have Itchy limping up, and they're like, you see that fire? That fire is your casino! And you're just like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, yeah, because he's with the puppies at that point. Then he just looks out and see a building on fire.
Yeah.
He can't have been surprised, though. Like, they just beat the shit out of him, and he somehow managed to get away.
They like, tried we know to they kill people,
but they didn't. So, like, how did you get away? But that's fine. Whatever. Like, whatever. Willing suspension of disbelief, I guess. But then he's like, well, of course it's on fire, you dipshits. They just tried to kill... Like, are you looking at me right now? Like, I feel like that should have been his reaction. And it's just... He's, like, so exasperated by that point.
He is. And, like... The movie can't end here, but this should be a transition point. But it's so soft. Yeah. The rest of this movie just kind of unfolds. And we end up hiding out, and Itchy's kind of ignored. And
we get a giant alligator for no reason.
I want to know what the storyboards look like for this, because none of this fits together. It doesn't, like... Why introduce a Deus Ex alligator unless you knew there had to be an alligator in the third act?
Nolans, that's my guess.
Then start with it. It should have been, like, because you really
should have been a threat the whole time.
Yeah, he should have snapped at Charlie at the beginning, because Charlie's place doesn't move. So if it's just on the edge of the bayou or something, the gator's just always there trying to get him, and then he hears Charlie sing at one point in the first act.
I don't disagree. I mean, that would have been a lot better.
Would have tied it together anyway.
It's a cleaner movie. The thing that pisses me off is this is a director I like, and the movie looks beautiful. I can't emphasize how good it looks for something that's so sloppy. How do you not think of any of this shit? I mean, and again...
Here's the irony. Yeah. The alligator scene and song is the best scene in the movie, barring the dream sequence. It's the most energetic.
It was fun. It was fun. Mm-hmm. It had personality.
If they rip it off from Moana when they have the Shiny song and you have them singing...
Don't you talk shit about Shiny.
I'm not talking shit about
it. All right, you better watch it.
But it does look the same, right? They're on top of the giant floating thing talking... Like, there's even a pearl rolling around making the room look lighter.
Hmm.
Yeah, he turns into a disco ball.
He does.
I'd rather be shiny.
I feel like the seed of this movie, there's potential. But just the execution just did not work. You could have made it, I think, if you started with what I thought it was, which is that he goes back to save Anne Marie. Maybe establish that relationship with Anne Marie and Charlie first, and then that he's good, and then that he dies or somehow and has to come back for her.
Right.
I think it that would
a better story.
Make it a better story, a little cleaner,
redemptive. It's the standard third. Three-act structure of these kind of kids movie is the new best friend and the main character break up at the end of the second act. But they double down on it because he breaks up with Anne-Marie and breaks up with Itchy at the same time. And the third act starts with 10 minutes left, right? Like, yeah. So all of it feels rushed because he has to mend two relationships.
Well, what happens in the last 10 minutes in this case is Carface gets Anne-Marie back. And who's, like, got pneumonia or something, so she's movie dying.
She's super movie dying.
And then,
and he saves her like Kate Winslet in Titanic and puts her on a door, and she floats away.
Meanwhile, Carface gets eaten by the alligator.
Oh, he does, and that's great.
But Charlie didn't redeem himself with Itchy.
No. Absolutely not.
Just Itchy. With
the movie ends.
Just with Anne-Marie.
Just with Anne-Marie.
Well, he says to Anne-Marie, "Take care of Itchy
until the epilogue.
Make sure."
Yeah, but
in the make epilogue, sure. That's not really
Itchy.
Like,
Itchy is sleeping at the end, but Charlie says, "Take care of Itchy. Give him a good life."
Oh, wait. Satan brings Charlie back to Earth because Satan takes over New Orleans. There's this giant Chernabog like motherfucker, and a red mist. And Charlie, and I was watching this again with my daughter, and she's like, oh, something bad's going to happen. And then Charlie shows up, and she goes, oh, it's only Charlie. And I'm like, hun, you're right. The optics tell you Satan has taken over the planet. Like,
well, it's the Constantine ending from that not really all that great movie.
Keanu Reeves movie.
It, which, again, not really all that great.
I blocked that out of my brain.
Don't mess with my Keanu.
He's like a good person. I remember he's not liking Constantine.
John Constantine's supposed to look like Sting, not Keanu. But anyway.
That's the wrong argument. That's not the problem you should be worrying about in that movie.
There are several, but it ends the same way with Satan trying to take Charlie to hell because the watch restarts and he runs out of time. But then the Whippet from earlier comes back and says, hey, you sacrificed yourself for Anne-Marie, so you get to come back to heaven.
That's right.
And then the demon's just cool with it.
The demon just
like just lets it happen.
Turns to dust.
Yeah.
What's the demon going to do about it?
Drag him to hell? Isn't that... That would have been a better story, too. Who gets to keep him? Because you letting him back in is bullshit. A. B. He's mine. No.
Actually,
you said a thing.
Even if it was for half a second where he starts to drag him away and then... The Whippet comes back. The angel comes back and
well,
saves
him. Isn't that what happens, though?
No, they're inside the bed.
She comes in through the window.
The blue fairy shows up and fucking ends the movie.
Yeah, Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, and says, keep Itchy. Itchy's pretty cool.
Take care of Itchy.
Please cure the itches. Like, he's got bad skin or something.
You can see them coming off of him.
So I think that's what he was trying to redeem with Itchy, but he doesn't. But Itchy's asleep, so he doesn't do it. He doesn't talk to him about it. But
yeah, I don't think it counts. Yeah.
No, I don't either.
I will say this though: before he leaves for heaven, he gets to say goodbye to Anne Marie, which is genuinely touching.
That's a sweet scene.
Yeah, it was a really sweet scene.
And Bert can act when he wants to. He's got Bruce Willis syndrome, where he doesn't want to act. He doesn't even bother to show up that day. But Bert showed up for that day. Bird showed up.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that was cute.
And then we get back to heaven and Carface is there and takes his clock. We start all over again.
Because
at least this time the Whippet went after him. She was screaming like a banshee. And I was like, all right, so at least she learned.
Right.
She's following him through space going, get back here! Whatever it is she's screaming at him. And I'm just like, "That's you can't take that." I was like, that's so funny. Well, this is great.
Bert shows up and goes, do you want a sequel? Because there's going to be a sequel. And then
because he looks dead at the camera and goes, he'll be back. And it's like, all right, well.
Here's the thing, though. That ending scene where Charlie says goodbye and goes to heaven could have been genuinely touching, but then Bert Reynolds didn't show up that day and he's just whining about what was the thing
he
said?
Goes, the music is terrible. Let's
he
start
claims the music's dead.
Do, do,
yes.
Do, 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 do. Like, and then Bert Reynolds just shows up with a beer and goes like, let's make music a little sexier. And it's like, turns out gospel-y and it's kind of fun. Whatever. And then we have 9 minutes of credits to fill out the runtime.
Plus the stinger scene with Carface that we already described.
And Carface goes back to Earth after stealing a clock from, I don't know.
I mean, at least the Whippet chases him down this time.
Yeah.
Dude, if the next movie is just a Terminator movie where she's trying to hunt him down like he's John fucking Connor.
There was a second one.
Have you seen this dog?
Have you seen this dog? I've not seen the second one.
I haven't seen the second one either. There was one. I wonder if that's what
it's about.
It came
out 7 years later, so I'm sure people were involved who cared.
Was Bert
I
Reynolds?
Saw it as a kid. It's
I never saw the second
time.
One.
Was I don't Bert think Anne Marie shows back up. Well, she was dead at that point, but
Really.
But no, I don't. I do not think she shows back up.
So, what do we think happens to Anne Marie? Did she find she's good?
Well,
she found
she obviously stays with
you
that
think
family.
She ended up being okay with that family.
Yeah. She stays with the family. Adopts
she
her.
She survives tuberculosis and pleurisy and all that, and takes care of Itchy. And
yes,
think so.
100%. And they find home for all the puppies.
Very good.
Obviously, she finds hope for the
puppies. Good, at least.
Well, at least she had a plan. She knew what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least she had a plan and stuck to it. No one else could do that.
No. No, I mean, and again, this movie is
just... Is it weird that the four-year-old is our, like, this one was better?
So, there is a sequel. It's called All Dogs Go to Heaven 2. Brace yourself. Charlie is now played by Charlie Sheen.
Oh, God.
A 1996 Charlie Sheen. Carface is Ernest Borgnine. I don't know if he was in the first one, but Dom DeLuise does return. So, ghoul. So, it involves the original cast to find a boy named David who runs away from home. That's it. That's it. Nothing to do with the first one, although Carface apparently is back. Maybe he also talks to kids. I don't know.
Maybe the boy didn't run away from home. Maybe Carface stole him because he also can talk to animals. So,
that's true. It could be. I don't know. I can't be bothered.
So does Charlie have to steal another clock, or do they send him back?
Suddenly, I want to watch it because it's also on HBO or Hulu or whatever it was that I had to find this show on.
Well, if you needed a reason to watch it, Wallace Shawn is in it.
Inconceivable.
I know.
That's a good reason.
It's good enough. And apparently that horse with the monocle, Reginald, is back in it as well.
Oh, perfect. He was lovely.
How delightful. Reginald, you say? How delightful. Oh, God help me. So you want to do final thoughts? Lauren, what were your final thoughts?
Of all the movies we've done, Nick, we've done this a long time, my friend. We've done this for years, this podcast. This was the most contrasting between my memory from when I was a little girl, because I used to love this movie. I would watch it all the time. My mom still talks about this. The contrast from what I remember it being so good and what now. This was way more traumatizing, way more sad than I thought. I mean, there are parts that I enjoyed. Definitely. I mean, it'll entertain you. But yeah, just the seed and the first thought of this movie is excellent. I think that it had potential, but just the execution just definitely needed work. And I just do not think that this should be rated G for sure. This should at least be PG, a kids movie. Yeah, my kids would definitely not be seeing this yet. Oops. Yeah, it had its moments, but yeah, nothing like I remembered. Complete contrast. So it was interesting. Thanks for suggesting this one.
Oh yeah, you're welcome.
Oh boy. The animation's beautiful, but this was just a weird movie. I mean, it's not really even about a life or death. It's more like a parody of a 30s gangster movie.
It is.
Which is fine, but that's not how it was advertised. And I don't know. Every time they try and get to a good point or say something that's profound, they immediately undermine it with a bad joke or with a bad song.
It's my life.
I really don't want to rag on Don Bluth too much. I think he was a very talented animator who got really screwed over a lot by studios. But in this case, I don't know. I can't say I recommend it. I really can't.
Yeah, no, I'm with Lauren. I remembered, and I didn't remember much about the movie, I will say that, but I remember liking it, but I don't now remember why.
Yeah.
And even just, like, how long have Jonathan and I been married? Like, 8 years ago, we went to IKEA, and it was playing in the cafeteria on the TVs, and I was like, oh, I loved this movie. Huh. And he looked at me like, really? I was like, yeah. So watching it now, I was like, but why though? I really don't. And it's entirely possible. Maybe I'm thinking of a different movie that was All Dogs Go to Heaven that actually took place with dogs in heaven. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, no, this was horrifying, and I feel very guilty for watching it with Adelaide. Like, she should not have been sitting there, like, at all.
Yeah, this movie's a mess. It's terrible. I mean, it's funny because American Tail and Land Before Time are also very sad movies.
Mm-hmm.
But this has no, this doesn't earn any of the emotion it tries to go for. That's the other thing. Like, it's just lazy. I will say, looking at this, the sequel might be a stay tuned, because Ernest Borgnine takes over as Carface. And in the year he does this, he also does Gattaca, Small Soldier, Basketballs, and a TV show called All Dogs Go to Heaven, the TV series. There's also a Media Christmas special. Maybe
there's a TV series as well.
I sure was. Remember a TV show, yep. But
I wonder if I saw the TV series and maybe not the...
I mean, there was also...
That's what I'm saying. The marketing, and it had to be amazing for this movie, because it blew up. There were sequels. There was a TV series. It was highly popular.
But to Kelly's point, the reason I bring it up is maybe you saw the sequel, because the sequel is what had the TV show. The sequel's what also had the Christmas special. The sequel's what had the advertisement.
But I remember Anne Marie, because I named all my dolls Anne Marie.
I don't know. I'm just telling you. But 96, when the sequel came out, the property must have been big again, because it must have gone straight to ABC or something, because there was a show. But regardless, like you said, I'll just highlight what you said. Movie's very pretty at times. The acting, when it's acting, it's fine. The singers are terrible, except for the King Gator song, which is even weird. It feels like he's not singing in tune with the music in the background at times.
Yeah, he was weird.
All the way around. That was a really weird, 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 weird scene.
From a different movie. It feels like it was storyboarded for something else. Mm-hmm. If you can, I mean, it's streaming right now.
But he wanted
right
to fall in love and sing with a dog. That was his dream. And the alligator got his dream.
Sometimes people want to marry tiny people, I guess.
The alligator just really was going to marry someone based on their voice. He wanted Charlie.
It's almost like the animators were like, okay, you do the first 20 minutes. I'm going to do the middle.
That's right.
And then you do the end.
And we'll tie the scripts together.
And they didn't talk to each other.
It's like a school project.
Yes. School group project.
Yeah, group project.
Dude, I realize, what's that weird singing show, The Mask, where you come out in costume?
Oh,
The Masked Singer. Love that show.
Someone should show up as King Gator.
I love that.
I love Gator. I love Masked Singer. Yes, that'd be awesome. Mm.
Kermit the Frog showed up. I saw that one. Anyway, you guys, if you, I don't know if to recommend it or not, but if you haven't seen this movie, I kind of say you have to see it. It's not a good movie, but you won't believe that this was kid. This is, whatever.
Don't watch it high, though. Don't watch it high. This is like the best advice I can give you. Just don't do it.
Watch it in the bright light of day, because you need to.
Yes.
But you're not going to believe that this was a movie for kids from the late 80s, because there's so much good stuff out there, and this was not it. Anyway, we're out of time. Thanks for listening, reviewing. If you have not paid for our Patreon, do. We have a lot of cool stuff out there, including movie riffs, including extra episodes at all levels. And this has come out after our special on the new Bond movie for Mission Briefing. So watch the new Bond movie for Mission Briefing. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.